Soul Window. That's the first track from the album Brand New Mischief by my guest tonight on WLRN's Evening Jazz Miami Mondays and Beyond. Leon Foster Thomas is here in the igloo. Welcome, Leon.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm thrilled. I'm really glad that you have finally made it up here to spend some time in the Ice Age with me.
Pleasure's all mine to be here.
All right, let's begin at something, I guess, that resembles the beginning. So, once upon a time, long, long ago, not in a galaxy all that far away, probably this very same galaxy, on an island not so very far from here. Tell us about the beginnings of Leon Foster Thomas, please.
I grew up in a family of musicians. My father was a master drummer, and my mother was a vocalist. I say was because they're now deceased now.
God bless their souls.
And every day there was just music. So I started playing African drums at the age of 3. And the pan was never anywhere close there. I never liked the instrument,
really,
to be honest with you. So at the age of, like, I think 14 or so, a friend of mine invited me to play with a steel orchestra and to play African drums with the band. And I found it really interesting where they were playing a popular song. And I was more embarrassed that I couldn't play as a Trinidadian. And every time someone would, when the band would take a break, I would jump on, borrow someone's sticks, and pick the tune out that they were playing. I wasn't going to ask anybody, can you show this to me? No, I was too embarrassed for that. So that's pretty much it. You know, and it took me from there to now.
I believe I have read that the steel pan is the national instrument of Trinidad.
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to the beginning, sort of the pan. I'm always fascinated by where things come from. And, you know, I'm thinking, who first had the idea to take a 55-gallon drum and make it into such a lovely musical instrument? What can you tell us about the development, well, how a steel drum becomes a steel pan, or who thought of that, and how did this happen?
You know, it's still a mystery as to who exactly started the whole thing. But it all stemmed from, like, slavery, after the slavery days, African drums. So at one point in time, you know, back in the day, slaves would communicate with the beat of the drum. When the slave masters found that out, they banned the playing of drums. And after that, there is, we're kind of jumping to some parts here, but there is the Tambo Bambo days, which was really the first era of the steel pan, because they would get long pieces of bamboo, and with chants, singing different chants or what have you, they would knock the bamboo on the floor, and while playing it with a stick, so you get like a real kind of, and you know, so with that, you had this nice little thing happening. And but after a while, the bamboos would split because it's the wood playing under, you know. And the evolution, some say it's from a biscuit tin, some said, you know, there's this big kind of mystery as to really how it really started. Some say, you know, biscuit tin, and someone played, was banging on it, and it got two notes. You know, in Trinidad and Carnival, it's all based on, you know, emancipation of the slave and slaves. And people like to party in Trinidad. It's that party kind of place. And music from bottle and spoon to anything. So you kind of get the picture, well, okay, they just grabbed anything and made music out of it. You know, and I would imagine being in captivation for so long, I mean, I would do whatever just to, you know, it's happiness, you know, it's a form of celebration. So it kind of helped with that stage. And, you know, from two notes to five, and to know what we have full orchestras of the instrument.
I was going to ask you to tell us in some detail about the instrument and then about the orchestras.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Trinidad now, you have a full orchestra ranging from your bass pans to your middle section, which is like your cellos and guitar pans, and your double tenors and so forth. They're all based from the the voice, how you would, you know, do the sofa, I mean, the voice system, you know, alto, soprano, tenor, and bass. Even though the soprano, it's being played by the pan, which is the tenor, which is the lead.
Mm-hmm.
So most people, especially in the U.S., they would call it the lead pan, which carries the melody. The double tenor or the double lead carries also the melody, but also it harmonizes as well, too. With the double seconds doing somewhat of the same, but playing chords. So now, as a pianist, as how a pianist, you know, play your full chord,
mm-hmm.
Because we're only able to play with one pair of sticks, you would split the chord up. So with either the double seconds and the double guitars and the triple or the four cello. So that's where you get that whole belly of the band, and then you have your basses, which is your tenor basses or high basses, your six basses, nine basses, and even sometimes 12.
I was just about to ask if there's a set number in an orchestra.
well, the you know, in Trinidad now with the carnival, we have Panorama is a national competition around the country during the carnival time, which all the bands from around the country would participate. And you have from the smallest of like 50 members to the large bands, which are 120 players. Yeah.
And all of these various pans, are they still all made from 55-gallon drums?
Yes, they are.
Wow.
Yes, they are. Excuse me.
Can you tell us anything about the process of converting an industrial container into a musical instrument?
Yeah, I can give you a little short and detail,
okay,
kind of explanation. With the tuners, these are guys that are, they really took some time, studied the building of the instrument, understanding metal and all that kind of stuff. And it's used with, the drum itself, fire, and a hammer. And they burn the drums to also help stretch the steel, but also after it's already shaped and stuff, to also get the tone out of the metal. And with that, the hammer is used to sink the drums. So normally, like, the surface of the barrel is flat. So you'd have to sink it with the hammer, or sometimes I think they use, like, a big ball. That's what I saw them using at some point to get the steel down. After that, they would shape the notes to whatever specific measurements and for whatever type of pan it is as well. So, you know, from the tenor, the double tenors, the notes are different and so forth. Excuse me. So we have, from that, you know, it goes through all that, the pre-process, and then you have a pre-tuning of the instrument. And from then you go from, it's either you're going to get it chromed or painted, you know. It has to look good, much as sound good,
yeah,
too. So, and from there, I mean, you get the finishing touches and you have your instrument right there.
Can you tell us about your first pan?
Whew. My first pan is the same one that I play now.
I wondered if that would be the case. All right, tell us about this instrument.
It's just an amazing instrument for me. And my pan, it's just, it was given as a gift from Invader Steel Orchestra. That's a band that I played with, and I used to tour with in Trinidad. And I was getting ready to come to college, and it was given as a present. So I took care of that baby, and still take care of that baby from then on to now.
And it takes care of you.
Yes, it does.
Speaking of babies, you've got one of those we need to talk about too, but let's take a break now and listen to some music. We're listening to tunes from Brand New Mischief, the album by Leon Foster Thomas, inspired by his new daughter. How old is the baby now?
She's two.
Oh.
A big two.
Brand New Mischief. Annecy is the young lady's name, and we're going to hear another track from the album she inspired. This one is called Enchantment. Thank you. Enchantment. That's a tune by my guest Leon Foster Thomas from his album Brand New Mischief. 9 minutes now before 11. This is WLRN's Evening Jazz. Leon, tell us about that one.
It's magic, really. Having a child for me is extremely magical, and I'm still in that. Is this really happening to me kind of thing? You know, I'm still pinching myself to, experiencing fatherhood for the first time. Well, you can't do it again. I mean, can't do another first
not
again.
Not for the first time.
You know, but it's just like, wow, this is happening. I mean, now my daughter, she's 2, and she's already counting to 10. I mean, actually, almost to 20 without a mistake, and you know, knows her alphabet and all that. And I'm like, is this really, you know,
another
you
one know. Who's smarter than I am? Okay.
So, you know,
how has being a dad affected, influenced your work as a musician?
You know, you have to spend more time, you know, because with her, I wouldn't say less time with the music, but you have to find time to spend with your music. So that regular time you would have during the day or, you know, certain hours to practice, you know, it's not there. You have to spend time with the family. She needs to know who I am because most times I'm not around. So, you know, either we're here or there. And I think she's used to me going to the airport now, you know. So.
The Leon Foster Thomas Global Domination Tour. All right, where have you been? And we'll talk in just a second about where you're going to be very shortly. You were giving me some highlights of locations that you've been to recently. Where have you been in support of Brand New Mischief?
Oh, yeah, well, since the record was released, we've been to, we just came from Cayman Islands. We were in Russia. I did like a two-week tour in Russia, and different parts of New York. Where else have I been? Wisconsin and, you know, different parts of the U.S. I mean, it's been taking shape. The record has been taking a lot, really pushing. I think this Royal Stokes, I think he's a jazz historian. He put the CD, the record, as one of the notable records for 2012. So it's that's an honor for me because it's self-produced. You know, it's not like someone said, okay, you got to do it this way, you got to do it that way. And I feel extremely proud of myself and also
rightfully so.
And, you know, the musicians.
Yes, we should talk about the band.
Oh, man. Those, some really amazing musicians. I mean, Miami has, we have a really great group of musicians. I mean, you can't go wrong. Every musician within the city, within the state of Florida, amazing, amazing. They have influenced my playing a lot.
They have their own show on WLRN, by the way, every Monday night. Every Monday night.
And this is important. I mean, well, I'm here now, right?
But, you know, I say it pretty much every week. There's no reason to leave home, you know. We got the cats.
Yeah, we have them. On bass, we have Kurt Hengstebeck. He's on my first record as well. He's just an amazing individual. Alan Paul is a unheard of to a lot of folks, but look out for Alan Paul.
I was about to say, the secret's out.
Yeah, he has a record coming out called with his group Unclassified. I think that's the name of the group. But he emerging to be one of the really he's a really good hidden treasure, soon to be out. And Ludwig Alfonso, I can't even say much more about this guy. I mean, he's amazing drummer, you know, and most people know him from the Spyro Gyra days as well, too. He made the record, like everybody else, but on the drums for him to understand which direction we were going at such a last minute. Because we recorded this record in one afternoon.
Ah, okay.
One afternoon, a few hours, like 5-6 hours. And
so how did that happen? One afternoon?
Yeah. Well, finances is one, you know.
I was about to say, there is that little issue of studio time. Mm-hmm.
But we got, it was then Redland Studios, and they're no longer, after our session, they closed down, actually. We were the last one. It was a really good studio, and the engineer Paul Dealing, if I said his name correctly, so easy to work with, baby grand piano and everything. It was just really great. I wish they were open up to this day, because that was a gem. I mean, it's all the way down in the Redlands, but it's a good studio.
Not Mexico City.
Yeah. But, you know, that was it. You know, we went in, and the guys were had one rehearsal, and I think I did a pretty good roadmap for everyone to follow, and I just let everybody be themselves. And I think when you have musicians like that that respect the music, that are not about ego, it really made the record good.
Yeah, I have told the story at least once on air. I was corresponding with you about this album because I was the last one to get a copy of it, I think.
I hope not.
At any rate, I was trying to, we were going back and forth trying to get me a copy of this, and I was up here getting ready for work one day, and Andy Wagner was finishing up his All Things Considered shift, and I heard something, you know, they play the music, the bumps between segments. I was like, oh, that's nice. And it was nice enough that I walked down the hall to say to Andy Wagner, that's nice. And he looked it up for me on the NPR website, and it turned out to be none other than Leon Foster Thomas in the tune Soul Window. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, so the entire world is finding out about what we have down here, which is amazing. A wonderful thing.
Yeah, it is.
You say you're going to Zimbabwe?
Yeah, we are going to head to Zimbabwe next, I think, somewhere around the 22nd or so. I'm playing with this amazing Caribbean singer, soca singer, Allison Hines, and she's just one of the true gems of the art form for Caribbean music. For me, it's just a pleasure to play with her.
And I have to ask you once again, I was looking at your website, leonfosterthomas.com, and finding that you have played with Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
You're a musician, but okay, you got to tell us how you came to play with Dolly Parton.
Well, I was a member of the Invaders Steel Orchestra from Trinidad, and that was one of our trips to Tennessee. Actually, our first time to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and a steel band playing country music, you know.
I haven't actually been to Pigeon Forge, but I've been close to it. I'm sorry, tell the story.
No, and we had to learn a few tunes, like, you know, well, 9 to 5, which she sang with us. One of the mysteries was like, I mean, well, not really mystery, but the biggest question is, how tall was Dolly Parton? I think she said she wore like 12-inch heels or
Yikes.
Something like that. So she kind of looked tall enough to be among us, but she's a really short woman, but extremely humble and an amazing individual. We learned she sang 9 to 5 with us. There were different groups, but we were the only group from the Caribbean.
Oddly enough. Sorry.
And we learned also Rocky Top. That was the theme song for Tennessee, mm-hmm. you know. And from the time we put that on the pans, everybody just went crazy. You know, so.
This is 91.3 WLRN and HD1 Miami, Fort Lauderdale, the Palm Beaches, 91.5 WKWM and HD1 Marathon, Key West, just a little bit now before 11 o'clock. This is Evening Jazz, Miami Mondays and Beyond, and we're talking with Leon Foster Thomas, steel pan virtuoso, that's what it says on your website. Listening to your music, I have no reason to doubt you. But that does raise a question for me. Mm-hmm. You were not attracted to the steel pan at first, you said, and then somehow or another it began to worm its way into your affections, and you are a self-taught panist, I think is that's what a person who plays the pan is called.
Right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. You're a self-taught panist, and now you're a virtuoso. How did you do that?
You know, it was just a lot of hard work.
Okay.
A lot of hard work. Growing a passion for the instrument, but mainly for music. Pan was the only instrument that I could have really expressed myself in a musical way. I never spoke much back then. So I was able to just like, I didn't have a piano. When I was in high school, we didn't have, or junior secondary school, as we were called in Trinidad. We didn't have a music teacher at that time in our shift. And music was all around me in my house and everything like that. And when I got to the pan, I was like, man, I really like this thing. So I would, unknown to my mother, though, I would break school to practice.
Yes, you're a musician.
And so this would be from, school would call at 8:30 in the morning and end at 2:30 in the afternoon. And I would be practicing for those times. Until someone comes in to interrupt, that's when I would still be going. And I didn't know what I was looking for, but I was just so interested into understanding and playing music to the point where you understood where scales were happening, and I was playing with every song on radio. So it just took a lot of work. I didn't know who Miles Davis was. I didn't know nobody until I got to the U.S.
I think we need to, well, let's see, there's so much I want to ask you. Let me ask you at least two more questions before we take another break. Did your mom ever find out that you were actually educating yourself and not attending to your book learning?
No, she never did, actually. Okay. I never told her, honest to God.
And why was it that you didn't speak much then?
I don't know. I mean, growing up in the Caribbean, you have this, there's, you know, your parents instill a lot of discipline within you. And yes, there was this phrase, kids are to be seen and not heard, but it wasn't necessarily that, you know, but it's like speak when you are spoken to kind of thing. And we were raised to have respect for everyone. So if it's not a conversation for us, when grown folks are speaking, you don't have anything to say. And so I just really never... it wasn't my thing to speak that much. I was just that quiet person, kind of shy. But when that time came with the instrument to play, it was just like a whole different being. I think it still is. I talk a little too much now.
Well, you're just making up for lost time. We're going to hear another tune now from Brand New Mischief. And this one is actually named for your daughter. Please tell us whatever you wish to about this tune and about your daughter.
Well, the tune... The name of the song is Annecy, and it's named after a city and a town in France. My girlfriend and I were extremely infatuated with France, and she actually did a study abroad in France. And when we found out that we were having a child, we said, you know, Annecy sounds like a really nice name, so why not? And I looked it up and found one description of the city, or actually a famous Lake Annecy, and it says blessed by nature. So with the tune, I really wanted to tell her how happy I am to be her dad musically, you know. So many ways I couldn't really express myself, I think I did it within the song.
Let's listen. Thank you. my father used to say to me, I love you, daughter. And Leon Foster Thomas's daughter will have him saying it musically, you know, always. That's very, very cool.
Thank you.
So she inspired this album. Babies Have a Way of Taking Over Your Life.
Yeah.
Can you tell us how that came to be? Obviously, you were thrilled, but when did you, or what was the process involved in turning it into music?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. When I found that out, because I think I was on a, I wasn't being creative for a while, so I wasn't, there was no inspiration for anything, and we were going, still going through a transition, losing my mom, and when this happened, I was like, wow, you know, and my mind just started going. My mind is, it's everything, every song, I actually sang out a complete song on my phone to get the, just the idea, every idea that came, I wanted to capture every idea, so I sang everything into my phone and would rush to the computer or get a manuscript paper and just start writing down, just at least even the rhythm. And everything came together. Actually, there is a track on the record by the name of Sleepless Nights. And it's fashioned after the kicking, her kicking in her mother's belly. And this happened like around 2 something in the morning. I could remember it clearly, and I'm hearing this like, and I'm like, what? And I woke up. I turned to Jamie and I was like, are you hearing that? She's like, no, I'm feeling this a lot. And I, that same night I got up and I went on my computer and I started to write what I was hearing. And, it was just restlessness of her in the belly, Annecy that is.
Mm-hmm.
And, the music really exemplifies that. It really took shape on that when we wrote it. Every bass player that has played the songs thus far, they really enjoy it. It's a bit difficult. The front part,
as babies often are,
you know. And so it's, you know, but it really shaped out to be a really, really good tune. It's one of those tunes that I really took the chance to stretch out.
Are you going to be playing it this Thursday at PAX?
Yes, I will be.
Okay, we're going to listen to it in a minute. But first, something I've been meaning to mention to you and keep forgetting. Leon Foster Thomas will be appearing this Thursday, May 16th at 9 p.m. at PAX Miami. That's at 337 Southwest 8th Street, the Performing Arts Exchange. Ample free parking down there under the overpass.
I believe so, yeah.
Yes, near I-95 there in Miami. Again, that's 9 o'clock this Thursday at 337 Southwest 8th Street. Leon Foster Thomas at the Performing Arts Exchange. Who's going to be with you?
I'll be playing with some really good musicians, actually. Well, everybody is.
It's Miami, after all.
I know, right? You have Abner Torres on drums, Max Farber on piano, and Leo Brooks on bass, and, well, myself. So we're going to have a really nice time really, really pushing out some of this music. It's going to be so fun.
And you're going to do this tune that we're about to hear, Sleepless Nights.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to do that one.
Okay. Listen up now and compare and contrast on Thursday.
Thank you.
Sleepless Nights, another tune from the recent album by my guest Leon Foster Thomas. Brand New Mischief is the name of the disc, which is available in all the usual places, right, Leon?
Yes, it is.
And the usual places are, let's see, Amazon, iTunes. Mm-hmm.
CD Baby.
Yay, CD Baby.
Yeah. Pretty much almost everything digital, it's there. So.
And of course, you'll have 65 or 75 copies that you can sell out of the trunk of your car on Thursday.
Exactly, exactly.
Leon Foster Thomas will be performing at PAX, the Performing Arts Exchange. That's coming up this Thursday night, the 16th of May. Showtime is 9 p.m. You can find out more about that at paxmiami.com. I have also finally managed to get that link up on the Real Tracy Fields Facebook page, six times as a matter of fact, but it's there, so you can find out more about Leon Foster Thomas at paxmiami.com, leonfosterthomas.com, and also by visiting the Real Tracy Fields on Facebook. You're on Facebook too, right?
Yes, I am.
And where will people find you there?
I think it's Leon Foster. I think it's, I never really remember that whole thing, but I think you can look up Leon Foster Thomas.
That probably works.
Pretty much it.
That
yeah.
probably works. Oh, I had one and it escaped. So I'll just go back to the question that my Trinidadian consultant sent in. He told me to ask you, John Hernandez did, about the panyards at carnival time in Trinidad.
The panyards, that's where everything happens. That's where everything starts. that's where the lime is. That's what we call, another word for hangout. That's the lime. And everything from, the music. Most of the music that is done for Panorama is done by rote, and it's done right there on the spot by most of the arrangers, if not all of them. Even if you might have some things written out, most of the guys there are not, they didn't go to school for these things. So this is a natural talent by the Bugsy Sharps, the Len Bugsy Sharps, the Ken Professor Fillmores, to countless others. I mean, there are great, great musicians like Robert Greenidge, Jit Samaru, and Pelham Gothard, and, the list goes on and on. But the panyard is that place when you would have long practices until, the wee hours in the morning. Someone is, as we would say, bubbling a pot, and you get soup or corn soup or something. It's just that place. That's the hangout for the 2-3 months for Panorama. It's your home. At 5 o'clock, you're looking at the time, 5 p.m. It's like, okay, it's time to get ready to go.
Home.
Yeah.
Yes. And I did remember the escaped question. Mm. You mentioned in our last segment that you didn't even know who Miles Davis was until you came to South Florida to go to college at Florida Memorial, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that was the other question. You start out as an African drummer. You mm-hmm. become a self-taught steel pan virtuoso. Is that before or after you get, well, I guess it's mostly before you come to South Florida to attend college at Florida Memorial, and then you find out about Miles Davis. I'm trying to figure out how you decide to bring the pan to jazz and improvised music.
Well, back in the day, even before I came to the U.S., we were already doing it. Improvisation, I mean, you had guys, as I called some names before, I'm very fortunate to work with, Len Bugsy Sharp, who is a living legend.
Yeah, even I recognize that name.
He's just amazing, amazing player. But at that time, I wasn't working with him yet. I was working with Ken, Professor Fillmore. And he was already with this band, Fonclair. I have to mention that name. It's from where I'm from, San Fernando, Trinidad, South Trinidad. And the art of improvisation was really within that band. They produced a lot of really good players, and when I knew what improvising was, a lot of the terminology or even names of folks, you didn't know, you just heard things on radio, whatever the case was. So when I got to my freshman year in college, and I met Melton Mustafa for the first time, and I'm like, wow, who's this guy, and sitting in the class, and guys were asking, man, you sound like Miles. I was like, who is Miles?
Wow.
And I was given the CD, The Kind of Blue, one of my favorite records of all time.
Gateway drug, yeah.
Yeah. And I was hooked on that record for my full 4 years, as well as, you know, that with Keith Jarrett and for Joshua Redman. I mean, like, my favorite artists right now are both Joshua Redman and Keith Jarrett. I listen to them every day. And, you know, but just my education as to, oh, that's what that is, or that's who that was, mm-hmm. yeah, that is. And, you know, I'm still evolving. I'm still learning now. I had the pleasure of playing with Essiet last year, and I mean, made my day. I mean, I saw him with the Jazz Messengers back in the day. So, so for me, getting that chance to play with him, and even just to converse with him, you know, it was amazing.
The life of a virtuoso. So I guess that kind of begs the question, what's next? You mentioned that you're already working on the next project. What can you tell us about it?
Well, that is going to be recorded at the end of the year. We're planning on doing so. I have a few musicians in mind that I really would love to play with, and I can't say who they are yet.
I want Stay to tuned.
I would like to contact them first. But
all over South Florida, all over the world, musicians are saying, "Is he talking about me? Could it be me?"
That would be it. That would be me asking it. We, you know, I already started working on some tunes, but, you know, the pressure is to be able to eclipse this record that I currently have. And I would always want to be pushed. I would love to always be pushed to my highest to, you know, I can't create anything that is lesser. You know, we would always, for me, we have to keep growing. Music has to keep getting to that next level. The Steel Pan, a lot of folks, I remember a guy laughed at me when I took my pan out at one time, and because there's that novelty of, all you can do is play, you know, hotel music or commercial Caribbean music, because the music that they play, you know, it's not what you hear in Trinidad. Mm-hmm. It's not what we grew up playing or even doing, or even the way how they dress. It's totally a description of what someone else thinks from a cruise ship or whatever the case is.
That happens with a great many musics.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken with many musicians of many strains who can tell that same story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So with that, my how I feel, and I feel so passionate about music, but also from the instrument that is of my home, is that we really want to give that right image of this instrument that is extremely universal, and it's really taking flight around the world. It definitely is. You can get pans, and there are bands in Switzerland, there are bands in Japan, there are different parts of Europe, the US, everywhere. So you might just get pan in space soon. I mean, I don't know.
It's coming.
Yeah. But, you know, it's there, and the education is there. There's a lot of people that have really dedicated their lives towards this great instrument and the art form. So, you know, that new record is coming, and we want to make sure we get the right sound and everything towards it.
So you have to surpass your previous work here. Is there a process involved in figuring out how to make it better, or do you just, how are you going to do that?
Well, I'm going to be, when I write a tune, actually, which is happening now, I'm writing this tune, I'm like, is this good enough? Or, you know, track back to the other records, like, it's all right, but it could do better than that. So it's going to be a process. It's already started to be that type of process where it's all right. It's maybe I may not. I mean, I hope I can, or create something as equal as... Because it's a different theme.
Can you tell us what the theme will be?
No, I don't even know.
Okay.
But it's, you know, it's not about, you know, a child anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the Brand New Mischief is just something special. It's extremely special for me, and even the track Brand New Mischief, I mean, you play around with a lot of stuff. There's so many kids being born, and no parents. hungry, all over the place, born with many diseases, and I count myself, we count ourselves very fortunate. So with that, it really holds a special place, be it if it's for, you know, even if, as the listener, when you get the record, you know, with that in mind, it's just, you know, it should mean something to you as much as it does to me, with that in respect.
Okay. I think that about says it. Mm-hmm. We did not pick a track to say goodnight on, but perhaps that's it. Brand new mischief, the last one. Leon Foster Thomas, while I reach over here and get that one ready to go, I'm going to ask you to tell the folks once again about your album, where it's available, and where you will be a poor... What happens on Thursday is what I'm trying to say.
Well, the track, the name of the record is Brand New Mischief. And give some mention to the musicians. Much thanks to Alan Paul, Ludwig Alfonso, and Kurt Hengstebeck. And we're going to be at, well, I'm going to be at PAX on Thursday. And I think there's a cover of like $10 or so. But it's going to be amazing.
PAX is at 337 Southwest 8th Street. My guest tonight has been Leon Foster Thomas, steel pan virtuoso and daddy, among other things. Leon, thank you so much for taking the time to stop in.
Thank you.
Look forward to having you back.
Will do. Hope so.
Soon.
Soon.